This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 307. Nintendo wants to own every course suffix. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best
the fucking
girl
best.
Gaming, tech, gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to another new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Ninja.
I said Panda.
Ninja.
Panda.
Ninja.
How you doing?
Hi.
Did you have a good week?
I had a puffing wheat weekend.
I have not seen you pretty much all week.
I know, but you saw me this weekend, though.
I saw you this weekend. We had Grits weekend.
I know.
Oh, so over.
Do.
Thank you. And that's why we work well together as a pair.
But we finish each other's sentences.
We also had some other stuff coming up. I'd like to say we have a bunch of things to talk about, but really we only have two main things to talk about today, which means super high-focused podcast for you guys.
Yeah, right.
No, not really.
Not really.
That's just a lie. But we're going to try and focus because the one thing that we do want to talk about, like right off the bat, which I'm sure everybody's talking about because we were all like drool face, or at least I was all drool face. Nintendo Wii U. First of all, the announcement, the price point, the pre-order.
I'm sorry, but did you actually get to visually see any of the presentation?
I did. After the actual presentation, because I was at my day job when the sucker went off.
Right, so yeah, it went off at like 10 Eastern Standard Time.
I was, quote unquote, and I'm doing air quotes here, watching the presentation via messages being posted on my Twitter feed. So I was addicted to my Twitter feed on my phone at my desk while I was doing my, here
work.
We go again with the air quotes, job. So I didn't get to watch the video then. I was able to go back afterwards and watch the video.
All right, well, here's why I bring that up. Anyone notice how the setup kind of reminded you of, like, an Oprah setting? Two chairs, intimately close. Not that, you know, Reggie ever directly looked at whoever he was talking to because he was reading his prompter.
Well, let's all just remember that Nintendo's spokespeople up at the top, They're not very good with the prompter reading, okay? Every Nintendo press release that we've ever been to has proven this. It's a thing we should just live with and learn to accept.
Let's just be glad that he can read.
Okay? I don't need them to read well from a teleprompter. I just need them to ship my Nintendo Wii U on time.
Let's see if that happens.
It better. Otherwise, I'm going to raise some serious hell. So let's talk about the Wii U because, first of all, we were excited about the Wii U when we saw it at the press conference at E3.
Yep. Back the when they were only deal. Showing prototype type games. They weren't even really releasing any titles.
When you and Hamster Man did your extra time in the Urias.
Yep, like during a the boss. Prototype.
And then we got more excited the following year when we actually got deeper into it, with the exception of Nintendo Land. Like, I really wasn't, like, squee about Nintendo Land.
Don't get me wrong. I think Nintendo Land's going to be fun. And for those habitual, casual family gamers, that's going to be right up their alley.
Yes, I'm not.
But that's not the selling point to the Wii U, because they're aiming to get those core gamers. And I love how they said core. They didn't say hardcore.
Yeah, they just said, we're aiming
they were
to
like
get core
gamer. It's like
casual
so,
core.
Yeah, exactly.
Core.
Exactly.
Hardcore, soft core.
Like, I was like, core? Which core are you referring
Who's
to?
Who's core? Who's core, Reggie?
All cores.
Who's core?
All the cores.
They want all the cores. No, we've been talking about the Wii U for a while, and, you know, as we were sitting in the press conference at E3 this year, when they showed off Zombie U, there were lots of
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of that in the room. Everyone seemed to have an understanding of, okay, this console is going to do more than what we thought it was going to do.
I think it's going to add a new element to survival horror that we have been so jaded to never even really think about.
I don't even know what that sentence means, but here's where
well,
I'm
I mean, gonna... You want me to explain? I'll explain.
Well, I mean, you could explain. I mean, that would be nice.
Yeah, I'll explain. So, I mean, in survival horror genres where, you know, you're running around, you find a gun, you're lucky if it's got bullets in it, and you're taking the time out to piece, you know, one zombie or one monster in the room. With my experience with Zombie U, you know, like when you're hacking a door, you literally don't know anything about the code. Like, there's no way to find out what it is, and you're really just kind of figuring out, kind of like with Sleeping Dogs, when you're hacking cameras.
Mm-hmm.
But at the whole time while you're doing that, things are moving up on you, so you have to take time to stop looking at that and look to see what's moving, because things are always...
What does that have to do with being jaded or something that you
You don't have to worry about things creeping up on you in most games, especially in survival horror games. Once you're in that mini game of unlocking a door, nothing bothers you. So in that minute, you know, that you're cracking that, you're safe, air quotes. You don't have that tension. But in Zombie U, you have tension all the damn time.
Well, yeah. I mean, we already agreed that Zombie U was a true survival
horror. It is taking
game.
The best step forward back to what survival horror was meant
no,
to
let's,
do.
No, let's be honest, okay? I think, this is my opinion. You ready? Ninja opinion. I think that when you actually get to play the game, that you, Pandalicious, will go, this is a true survival horror game. Because from the things that I've seen for Zombie U, it seems to really be specifically about survival. Surprise. Thrill. And create atmospheres of anxiety. To me, that's the core of what a survival horror game should be. You should feel anxious when you're controlling a player about whether or not you have the ability to get them out of a situation or not.
We will see.
So, that's kind of what I'm interested in, excited about. You know, take it, leave it, however you want to do it.
All right, and I will do just that.
Okay, so, but can we agree that the visual of Zombie U, the way that it seemed to surprise the audience that was sitting there in the Nokia Theater, seemed to go, wow, this is actually going to be more than what I expected.
Yeah, I would definitely say that a lot of people had that face expression, that vocal expression of, wow, surprised. And then, I mean, I don't know, because, I mean, walking out of the Nokia Theater that, you know, this year, a lot of people were like, meh, but like a questionable meh, like, okay, but let's see you do it. And then this conference kind of showed how they were going to do that. So they finally put their money where their mouth was with this presentation.
Well, I just remember, and maybe it was because I was mostly doing the manning the live blog and popping photos in and out of it all the time, but the way that I remember the conference was, they were showing off video of Zombie U, and then they showed the whole room keypad thing that you were talking about.
Yep.
To get in, and explaining how when your character died, that was it. They died right there. You had to start over somebody else. That was the end of your story. That there was kind of a, oh, wow, that's not what I expected out of the software kind of reaction from the audience. Then as they continued on and showed off the Batman game with the additional...
Oh, the armored... The
correct,
armored
with
suit.
The, yeah.
Armored
with,
assault, I
mm-hmm,
think.
With the additional contextual things that will happen because of the controller and different things that you have to do with the controller with the screen on it. It seemed like the response... Just that my impression of it was there was a consensus of, okay, so this isn't just a slightly souped-up Wii.
I would agree to that.
Okay.
Because they're implementing this idea that isn't necessarily even a brand new idea, but they've modified an idea that didn't really go anywhere and now made it relevant.
Well, the reason why I'm trying to establish that is because at the point that we walked out of the group, because, you know, four of the team members from the Land of Ash attended the Nintendo presser. It was Hamsterman, KBD, Pandalicious, and myself. When we walked together as a group out of the Nokia Center to the breakfast that almost wasn't.
It was the breakfast for you.
It was the breakfast that wasn't for Pandalicious.
Fuck that, man.
But it was the bacon apocalypse. Because you did get a man.
I've decided now I'm just going to carry emergency food rations everywhere.
You should always carry emergency bacon.
I should have a button for emergency bacon.
Anyway, when we were sitting talking about the press release, the press conference, at the table, nobody at the table was like, well, I'm ready to put my money down today.
Yes.
Okay? Now, the Nintendo announcement about the Wii U happens. I'm still, as I'm watching my Twitter feed at the beginning, not going, okay, Nintendo, shut up and take my money. The moment that I went, okay, Nintendo, shut up and take my money, was when they said, Bayonetta 2, Wii U exclusive.
Yep, I love the idea that, you know, Nintendo is going into exclusives now that, well, frankly, will appeal to the type of gamer that I am. Not to mention, I'm glad that, you know, Sega and Platinum Games did not end up, you know, dying on the waysides. And we are going to get that installment of this overly sexualized, misogynistic piece of gameware.
Well,
on a family-friendly system.
Here's my thing.
Debauchery okay. for everyone.
I mean, everyone should have debauchery. There should be no one who is denied.
Mickey Mouse needs some debauchery, guys.
But
Minnie's
what
just not doing it for him anymore.
But what I am saying is, you know, when I was going through what the possibility of price points would be and really what they should be, and to say that Nintendo doesn't do exclusives is bull. You can only play Mario games on a Nintendo. You can only play...
I mean,
hold on. No. If we're talking about killer apps, A titles that are only available on a single platform...
Yes.
Nintendo invented the exclusive.
Agreed. Okay.
You can't play Pikmin on anything other than a Nintendo box. You can't play a Mario game on anything other than a Nintendo box. You cannot play...
Zelda
on anything other than a Nintendo box. Okay? Can't do it. Go ahead, try.
You're right.
Okay. So they've been doing the exclusive thing and doing it well for a very long time.
But do you think they're doing it too well, though? Since obviously people don't go apeshit unless Nintendo really announces a title that is either Pikmin, Mario, or Zelda. And people are still kind of raving at the fact that they didn't mention any Zelda.
Hold on. You keep saying people. Let's be really specific. Okay.
Jaded Nintendo files?
No, stop it. What is it with you and the jaded people today?
Because they're jaded.
Okay, anyway, not everyone is jaded. Reflect on your own soul in a different podcast.
I'm not jaded.
Okay.
I'm not that jaded.
Okay. You got another statement in there?
Nope.
Yeah, I think you do. Yeah. I think you do. But here's the deal, all right? The people that go apeshit, those people that you're talking about, are us.
Who?
Casual to hardcore gamers who grew up playing those games. Okay?
Nostalgia files?
No. Gamers. Can we just please stop trying to put everybody into all these different blocks? Okay? For anyone who started their gaming life on a Nintendo system, which for most people, that's where you started. Family are easy to jump onto Mario and Luigi because they're safe.
Yes, agreed.
Okay? So for a lot of people, their introduction to video games came through a Mario or Luigi game.
Well,
for the generation that's coming up now, it was a Luigi's Mansion or it was...
Kirby.
Or they got their brothers and sisters hand-me-down systems, so they jumped on, you know, with a Nintendo 64 and played Sunshine. For a lot of gamers...
Oh, Mario Sunshine.
But it's true. For a lot of gamers, they got their start today. The majority got their start on a Nintendo game.
Okay.
Okay? Because as a young person, typically, the system of choice for kids, can we agree, is a Nintendo. either a DS, 3DS, whatever the hell you want to call it. Okay, or Nintendo system, because it's viewed as the family-friendly platform. The majority of the titles that are there are family-friendly, safe, I'm doing air quotes there.
Yes, I saw
titles.
Them.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. So, you grow up, you grow into wanting more out of a game than just a platformer, just a coin collector, just a Mario Party kart race. You want more than that. So then your tastes change. You grow into what we would say right now is a more hardcore platform. So you either migrate to an Xbox or a PS3 or both, depending upon the titles that you want to move into. But you still are moving into action and platformers and survival horrors and races and shooters. But you have that instant recognition of when you fell in love when a new Mario game comes out. We both squee anytime a new Zelda game comes out.
Yes.
Okay? And you are the first person on the planet to say that your genre of choice is survival horror. It's dark, it's violent, it's typically scary, very much psycho thriller, correct?
Yes.
But you still squee like a fucking 5-year-old when Pikmin hit the screen.
I did.
Okay? So can we just get off of people go crazy and just say gamers? Because we did. And that's what I'm saying. There wasn't a person in that room. And the ages in that room went from 60 to, we'll say 18, because that's how old you have to be to get into the thing. But there are a couple people that I saw that I am not sure that they were 18, okay? That everyone collectively had the same,
oh my god, Pikmin,
when Pikmin 3 was shown. Same thing happened with, what do you call it?
The Mario game where we got the flying squirrel suit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, what I'm trying to say is, I did not really have my, even though I had that moment, and I was doing the same thing, because I love Pikmin. I have been looking forward to a new Pikmin game. Pikmin was going to be, and I've said it before, the only thing that made me turn my Wii back on at the time, unless a new Zelda game came out. Remember we had that conversation?
Yes,
I'm like, nope, my Wii's in the box. It's not coming out unless I get a Pikmin game or I get a Zelda game.
Well, getting the Pikmin game.
And then we were like, oh, Pikmin 3. And I was like, squee!
Yes.
Okay? But even at that point, I still wasn't like, well, it's definitely going to get my pre-order money. I'm going to have it day one when it comes out. Because I'm still doing so much more gaming when I do game on my Xbox, even more so than my PS3, unless it's an exclusive title on the PS3 that I'm going to play. I've already said that I'm probably not turning my Xbox, my PS3 back on until God of War Ascension. I've already blasted through Uncharted 3.
Yep.
You're going to get Last of Us.
Yes, I am.
You know, so
I already in the future have it. So, duh.
But I'm not turning mine back on until Ascension. And so, you know, I really was not, to be honest with you, unless something amazing happened for me, was planning on pre-ordering a Wii U. But after watching the video and Bayonetta 2 being an exclusive, first, I had the same reaction that a lot of people had, because I really, really wanted Bayonetta to have another outing. I felt like it would be a disservice to Platinum Games. It would be a disservice to the character, because I really love the character, to not have another outing with her. And I was terrified that that was going to happen, because, you know, a certain segment of people enjoyed that game.
I really enjoyed that game.
But Bayonetta does not have the same kind of mass appeal as, say, a Call of Duty 2 Black
no
Ops.
No way. Absolutely not.
Okay? It's a certain set of people that
with a certain set of skills.
that make them a nightmare to people like you.
I love where you went there.
But seriously, it's a certain set of people that enjoyed the game, and I wasn't sure that it was enough to get a Bayonetta 2. And remember, we were looking for like a scrap of information about Bayonetta 2, possibly be at E3.
We were kind of looking for any sign of life from Platinum Games.
Just like a hint.
Like, hey, is everybody like healthy?
Yeah. So you know, and then when Sega did their restructure, you know, one of the titles that was iffy as far as surviving was Platinum Games and a Bayonetta follow-through. And so there was nothing said then to verify, yes, Bayonetta 2 is happening. So I like to jump across my desk as soon as I saw on my Twitter feed, Bayonetta 2, Wii U exclusive, it's happening. And that's the moment when I was like, okay, Nintendo, shut up. Let me order this son of a bitch.
See, right I went, now. Shut up, I need a job. Any job that will let me...
I need cash money.
I need a job that will let me make about $600 that I can then leave.
I am ready to donate some plasma.
Like, but no. But here's the thing. So yeah, it's great. Platinum Games has been saved. Bayonetta 2, Wii U exclusive. Yay! Great, we're gonna see it.
Yep.
And then they show us a small mini. I wouldn't even call it a full on trailer because they don't show you a lot. And there's not a lot to even speculate on. Because, yep, we see some bullet time. We see some witchy boots. We see a clanky sword. And we see a person in a hooded... They're doing that now. Have you noticed that the robes are like looking kind of like trench hoods now?
Well,
the robes?
I mean, here's the thing. In the first one, if you got the stylish bullets, I mean, you were able to unlock the first outfit. Because you got to remember, the first time that you see Bayonetta... She's wearing
that cloaky thing.
The cloaked nuns type outfit that has the hood. So yeah. You can't really see her
face. But I wonder.
And, like, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, like, I'm just wondering. Because I was trying to speculate off of what we saw. What they did, you know, view, you know.
I don't know. Spit it out.
All right. So, like I said, the cloak thing.
Yes. The cloak thing.
The person that she seems to be fighting in this few second trailer looked male, which, like I said, is kind of hard because it was a cloak. Obviously taller than her, and granted, she's pretty tall as is, and then the fact she's wearing guns as shoes would also give her a little bit more height.
I mean, she gets a little plus height.
Yeah. But I'd like to see them integrate in this second game some more between the witches and the rival factor, and I think it was like what, like the sun, they were like the sun priest guys?
Yeah, whatever, sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, I would like to see
some want more pleasure pony torture, really.
That wasn't even your thing until I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. So.
Well, you got further in the game before I did.
Well, yeah, because I'm a boss.
And then you let me discover it, and I was like, oh my god, I need to, like, fight angels so much more
They
often.
Needed to put more angels in the
there
game so that you could do that.
There needs to be more angels in
or
the game.
Or they should let you do that to other types of
Correct.
Angels instead of the joy ones.
Yes, I need to destroy more joys. There needs to be more joy
More
in
joy
game.
That I can rampage and utterly mutilate.
Correct.
With my sick perversions.
Yes. Sick perversions.
But anyway, I actually would like to see them incorporate that because, you know... She was supposed to be the last witch ever, or at least her friend that you kind of fight, but then kind of become friends with in the first game. If you haven't played it yet, I suggest that you do it before this game comes out.
Yeah, you should get on
that. Spoilers amok. But I'd like to see some more integration with that. I also would like to get some more backstory on our boy wonder sidekick that we have for the longest time. And what he truly has to offer to the universe, because he was around way too long for him to not mean something somewhere.
He might mean something somewhere.
Like, outside of, you know, her just teasing him and making him get boners and stuff. Like, maybe he is, like, descendant
I know, she did do that,
of,
like,
the,
a lot.
Of the sun priest guys or whatever, and, you know...
Who knows? Don't care. Want
I
the
do.
Game.
I do.
Want the game. Figure
I want
it out in
it.
The game. Figure it out in the game.
Okay.
In the game. But what was really interesting to me were the price points. So let's
yes,
start talking about money. And,
we have facts
and,
to present.
And, yeah. Factual game facts about the platform facts.
Yeah. So
facts. The facts.
So they are talking, they showcase two different bundle sets.
Two bundles.
One,
two prices.
One is the basic, one is the deluxe.
All right,
obviously,
so
that
basic.
Makes sense.
What
yeah,
you get?
The basic. So,
so before we talk money, what do you get in the basic bundle?
All right, so in the basic, you're getting the Wii U hardware.
Yep, so you get the console.
Yep, you get the console, and it's an 8 GB internal storage.
Okay.
In that.
8 gigas,
You're
right.
getting one Wii U gamepad.
You're kidding. That's the one with the screen.
Yep, that's the one with the screen. You get one of those.
Let's be specific. Neither bundle that we're going to talk about comes has more than one. Yeah, neither one has more than one of those controllers with the screen in them.
Yep.
And neither bundle has wands.
Yep, no wands.
Because
you can use the wands from your Wiis
here. Your existing Wiis.
Yep.
On this console.
On this console.
Yep.
However, they did state that if you wanted a particular Wii U branded nunchuck that they're going to sell them. So if you want that little piece of sticker that has the U cupped out, then you can pay for that.
Well, let's take a step back there, because, you know, if you are thinking about trading in your Wii for to get some of the discount.
Yeah, I think if you trade in your Wii, you get $60 off the Wii.
It's like console. $50 at your GameStop. But in order to trade in a system, you have to be able to trade in a system in two controllers. So if you only have two wands to begin with, then you're going to need to get a wand.
Oh, aren't they crafty?
Okay. So if you, you know, went, you know, balls to the walls because you were a whole family and you got four wands, then you can trade it in and still keep two of your wands.
But if it's just you and your girlfriend, then you're kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Just right.
Saying. So.
All right. Well, anyway. So,
continue. Yeah. So you got the console. You've got the bomb-ass new controller.
Yep. The game. The Wii U gamepad. You get a Wii U gamepad stylus. Yep. And you also get a sensor bar. In terms of the other parts of the software, you get your console AC adapter, a gamepad AC adapter, and an HDMI cable. So that's all you get with your basic white Wii U. Okay. And the price point for that is $299.
$300.
$300.
All right.
Then the second bundle, the deluxe.
The deluxe.
Deluxe. And I'm not going to tell you the price point until I tell you everything that you're getting.
That's right. That's the format.
So the deluxe.
Deluxe?
Set is your black set. It is all black.
That's right.
Black on black on black.
Like racks on racks on racks?
Yes, exactly. Except black. Black racks. Black racks on black racks on black racks. Ow, yeah, that hurts.
That hurt my mouth, and I didn't
So you are getting the black Wii U console.
Yep.
This, however, has 32 GB internal storage.
32 gigas?
That's like four times bigger than the white one.
If that's I do more my, jiggas.
That's four. That's
four times.
Four the times the gigapower.
It's got.
It's that's got a lot of space. It's a biggin.
It's got the jiggas.
It's got the biggins. It now, also comes with.
Obviously, that doesn't compare, however, to, you know, your hard drive storage for your Xbox 360.
No, or but your ability. considering where it's coming from, that is a big leap.
Well, and. All right, I'll save that point to actually save the money.
Yeah, wait until I finish.
Let me shut up. Let me
So, and money. You're also getting, you know, the Wii U gamepad. You're getting a black game stylus. You're getting your sensor bar. You're getting all those AC adapters and the HDMI. However, with the Deluxe set, you are also getting the Nintendo Land video game.
Yep, so you get Nintendo Land when you get the Deluxe.
When you get the Deluxe.
Which means if you get the basic,
you won't have to buy it. It comes with it. Yeah. It also has a deluxe digital promotion attached to that. It also has the gamepad stand, so you don't have to just throw your gamepad, you know, on its back.
Well, and the stand works as a charger, yes?
I'm getting to that.
Oh, okay.
So the stand doesn't necessarily, but the gamepad cradle does. It acts as the charger.
Aha! That was a good
one. And then it has the Wii console stand. So you don't get the stand or the cradle.
If you get just the regular basic bundle.
It comes in only the deluxe.
Deluxe?
Set.
Okay.
And the price point for that is $349.
That's right. For $50 more, you can get Nintendo Land. You can get a shiny black version of the Wii U. You get the cradles and the stands, and you get four times the storage. For only $50 more.
$50.
$50 more than the base stands. Now, there's a bunch of people going, oh my god, it costs too much money. Oh my god, Nintendo.
For $50, I could take me and two of my girlfriends up to the Long John Silver's for lunch.
Long John Silver's and have change.
I could take them to the lobster shandy.
All right, so I'm going to talk about... I'm a lobster shandy. Oh, my God. So I'm going to talk about price real quick.
Sure. Talk about that price.
There's a lot of people like, oh my god, Nintendo, that's too much money, and that's ridiculous. People, we're talking about a next-gen console here. You cannot forget that just because right now you can get a slim PS3 for, you know, $200, and you can get, you know, a smaller storage Xbox for under $200, they didn't launch at $200 a piece.
No,
they didn't. Launched at $300.
Yes, they did. I remember when I bought my PS3 going, fuck, this is expensive.
Okay. I spent $700 between pre-ordering my PS3 and my Xbox 360. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And when I got my Nintendo system, yes, my Nintendo system was not a $300 system, but by the time I bought the extra controllers, by the time I bought the motion add-on things, it absolutely was. Not to mention, I didn't have nearly as much storage as I did in my other systems. Okay, you still don't have equal storage, but you don't necessarily have to have equal storage. If game saves are different and smaller, I don't need a 350 gig internal drive in my Wii U. Plus the fact that it uses SD cards, you can get a 64 gig SD card for $20 in some places.
SD?
Okay, so I don't think that Nintendo is actually charging too much for the system. Especially when you look at the basic bundle versus the deluxe bundle. It's only a $50 price point change. Okay? $300 versus $350 for stands and charging cradles and the Nintendo Land game already included. Okay? It's just a little bit of an added incentive at a little bit extra price to get you to do that box. To give you, you know, some of what that means, you know, to get the cradle for charging your controller by itself, that's probably going to be a $30 piece by itself. Okay, so they multiply the storage and that cradle, that right there is worth $50 alone, but they're still giving you another stand and a power adapter to charge, so you won't have to charge it through your system all the time. It's really not all that big of a deal. And when you look at what the launch prices for the other consoles were, if they were to come out today, it'd be about the same price. The PS3 would probably come in around $356. The Xbox would probably come in somewhere in the $340 range. So the Wii U is right in the same range as the two other heavy hitting consoles. So quit your bitching. If you want it, make it happen.
If you don't,
then let it go.
Let it go. Let go.
Okay. Now, I'm going to play the ever-loving out of the Pikmin game. Okay, as soon as the pre-order page went up online, I went to GameStop on the web, and I pre-ordered my deluxe system. And originally I thought that if I got the Wii U, I was just going to get whatever the base system was and use my existing controllers.
Yes.
But after looking at the price difference, I was like, well, it's only $50 more. Okay, I'll pay, you know, $50 more over the course of the year to bring that base system up to what the deluxe system is. So screw it, I'll just do it now and get it on day one. What surprised me the most about the Wii U, though, was when day one actually was.
Yeah, so we should probably talk about that release date.
Go ahead, tell the people.
It's November 18th.
Okay, it's literally a couple months away.
Like, it's like a month and a half away.
Yep, month and a couple of days.
Yep. So, actually, to be technical,
go ahead, be
via
technical.
The site,
be technical.
It's available in 62 days, 22 hours, 8 minutes, and 47 seconds.
Pandalicious has an iPad.
It's not mine. But yes, and the counter is on the Nintendo.com/Wii U page.
So, Panda.
Yes.
Let's play hypothetical.
Sure, I love that game. It makes me feel like I'm important.
All right. So, we know that Bayonetta 2 at some point in time is going to drop on the Wii U.
Yes.
And we're going to play the ever loving out of it.
Yep.
We know that the new Super Mario Brothers game is going to be on the Wii U.
Yes.
We are going to play.
Duh. Where else would it be?
We're going to play the ever loving out of it.
Yes.
Okay. We know Pikmin 3. Done deal.
Yes.
Okay. And those are all things that are MAD exclusive on the Wii U.
Super exclusive.
All right. Now, Nintendo, during the media briefing at E3, alluded to all kinds of partners adding additional content into games that they were getting ready to release, some for holiday even.
Yes.
They were going to add additional aspects to the game.
Okay.
So my question to you is, now that the Wii U, for real, is
shipping... Not for play-play,
is shipping on November 18th.
Yes.
Before holiday.
Before holiday.
Does it change any of your purchase plans for game titles?
And I see why we're playing hypothetical as if I have, you know, money to be spending.
I was trying to be nice.
It's okay. Well, I mean, magically, if I end up making money,
Let's pretend that you already have a job.
Okay.
All right? And you know what games are coming out between now and December 31st.
Yes.
Okay? And before Nintendo's announcement, you knew you were going to get blah, blah, blah on your PS3 and blah, blah, blah on your Xbox and so on and so forth. Now knowing and having the Wii U up in the mix.
Yes.
Does that change any of your plans?
Believe it or not, in terms of the game that they're showcasing that will get, you know, Wii U time, I think the only game that I would be kind of curious about that isn't already an exclusive for the Wii U would be Black Ops 2.
Mm.
I would be curious to see how that game would be implemented on this new hardware.
Okay.
I would give it a chance on the Wii U. Also because of the simple fact that they really don't have, you know, party chat yet, which, I mean, they were talking about implementing new types of chat for the Wii U moving forward. So, it might make it a little bit easier and a little bit more tolerable to play this game on a multimedia, you know, a multiplayer level and not get ostracized nearly as much. But like I said, I'm just curious to see how the hardware would attribute and benefit to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really the only one. I mean, obviously,
Bayonetta 2. But that's kind of a big one because Black Ops is a big title.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a big moneymaker for both Xbox and Sony, specifically for multiplayer, because you've got clans that play it, that go into tournaments on both platforms. Now you have this new platform that's going to be new for everyone on the 18th. Does that change a lot of pre-orders? Like, do you think that a bunch of pre-orders for some of the bigger games have changed? Has Nintendo effectively cut into Microsoft's and Sony's sales?
I would honestly say...
No, lie to me. Lie to me.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Okay.
So, established clans
mm-hmm.
who are living on whichever console that they exist on, be it Xbox mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. PS3. Mm-hmm. I don't believe they are going to move.
Right.
But I believe that the people like me and people like you who have not had great
non-pro gamers.
I'm not even going the whole pro thing, but I'm just saying people have had.
Because I say clan is pro, whether you get paid or not. Clan is pro game.
Okay. All right. Well, because there are some clans that they're not pro. They don't get paid. But they're a clan. They all roam together. They all play those types of games
if
together.
If you're that well organized,
then you should attempt to be trying to get paid.
Correct.
But not everybody does. But regardless. So I'm talking about the people like you and I who are fair gamers given...
Gamers. Let's just say gamers.
I would say
mm-hmm.
that for gamers like us who are okay, but not necessarily live in pro gamer life, you know, pro thug life or whatever... They might be more prone to want to try to play this game on the Nintendo. It gives
you
them
just
a new
keep tiptoeing.
It gives them a new haven for them to become dicks.
Look, the question simply is:
I don't think it's going to tap into the pro money. Do I think they might get some flip flops? Yes, guaranteed.
Was that so hard, huh, Pookie? Was that hard to say? I think that in June, I did not believe that the Wii U would eat into Microsoft and Sony's sales. I thought that, you know, the hardcore Nintendo fans would absolutely pick it up and run with it. But I didn't really think that it was a contender to eat into some of your more AAA business, you know, that happens on the PlayStation and the Xbox. So I'm not necessarily saying cutting into just the sales of the pro gamers. I'm talking about, you know, effectively, like you just said.
Well, then, yeah, I think we're going to see some flip-flop. I think we're going to see, I don't think it's going to be an astronomical amount, but I'm definitely think we're going to.
I'm not saying that they're going to bankrupt them, but one of Nintendo's biggest issues, one of their biggest problems, was that there was a piece of the market that they could not tap into that basically Microsoft and Sony had a private monopoly on, which was your shooter action game.
Yes.
Okay? With your survival horror as well, which, let's be honest, when we talk about the billions of dollars that are made in the video game industry, those three genres more than likely contribute 80% of those sales.
Yes, okay.
Would you say that 80% of the AAA titles that come out fall into one of those genres?
Yes.
Okay? So, when you have two companies that predominantly have those titles on their platform, either in some form of exclusivity, 3 months, 6 months, whatever, or only certain things. You've got two companies that have their own private playland in the 80% of the money being made in the industry, the other 20% being family, which is owned by Nintendo. And Nintendo's had a hard time breaking into this 80%. What I'm saying is, after the announcement and the price points, and the listing of some of the games. Okay, the reason why I bring this up is BioShock Infinite, so I'll come back to that. Is Nintendo touted at the press release all the different things, well, some of the different things, I should say, that developers could build in to their games.
Yes.
On the Wii U. And they showed off some of those additional things, like the door thing in Zombie U. They showed off the Batman contextual thing, you know, and the year before.
Yeah, the armored edition.
Yep, and the year before, they were like, EA's doing all kinds of stuff with us. And then they showed off, you know, the football stuff.
Yes, I remember.
Okay. And I was like, I wasn't crazily impressed with any of that stuff. But I thought, okay, well, you know, there's a specific market here that you're looking at that you're going
after. I wasn't like, whoa.
But now as I sit here and go, okay, so the price point isn't really much more than what I paid for my Xbox or my PS3 when I first purchased it when it came out. It comes with that bomb-ass controller that allows me to move my game to it.
Yes.
And I have that added contextual stuff, and you're already leading off with Rayman Legends, which is an exclusive to the Wii U. You now have Epic Mickey 2.
The Power of Two.
The Power of Two, which is a launch title.
Yep.
For the Wii U. You know that BioShock Infinite is going to be on the Wii U because the team...
We just don't know when.
No, we don't know when. But we know that it's going to be on the Wii U. And because it's going to be on the Wii U, that may be one of the reasons why they weren't ready to show off some stuff. Because they may be wanting to show off whatever it is that they're working on how to.
On the Wii U.
On the Wii U. If that's the case, when you're talking about now BioShock on the Wii U and that being a draw, okay, I wouldn't have said that 3 months ago.
Yes.
Okay. I would have told you it's a given, my pre-order for BioShock Infinite is on the Xbox. What I'm sitting here as we're talking, thinking is, I might actually pre-order it on the Wii U. And that, to me, is not necessarily a flip-flop. I haven't switched my allegiance. I don't have an allegiance to one platform. I'm a gamer. I play them all. All I'm saying is, I'm now drawn a little bit more to what some of these games in this 80% three-game area, shooters, action games, survival horror, could look like and play like on the Wii U versus the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3.
Nintendo is in a good position to steal.
Nintendo is definitely in a stronger position than I really would have thought to crack into this piece of the market with the Wii U. That's what I was really impressed with from the video and the announcement. You know, I thought that when they said for holiday, this sucker would be ready for December. I did not expect it to actually ship in November.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting them to drop it in November. I really was expecting a Christmas launch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you'd have a run on the things for Christmas. A
big rush of people wanting to have this underneath their Christmas trees.
Yep. So they would get some PR out of it. They'd be on the TV and everybody like, oh my God, I mean,
granted, this is still going to do that because everyone's going to be jumping come November before Black Friday.
Dude, like I said, literally, after they said Bayonetta, I was hawking the website waiting for them to put the pre-order page up. They didn't release
the pre-order until the end of the conference.
I know that.
Yeah, KBD was like, can you drive me to the local GameStop? And I was like, you paying me? He goes, no. I'm like, let's go.
That's because you're nice. I went to the website and they kept saying at the bottom right after the press conference that all the e-retailers, they'd be coming soon. And so you couldn't click on any of them, but you could see who all the retailers were that they were going to sell it through. So I was like, all right, well, let me just go to GameStop and see if it's up. And of course, it was up for pre-orders right then and there at GameStop. So I was like, and here's my credit card. I went with the deluxe.
Right.
You know, because that's the only way to go. So my next question, Panda, is knowing that the Wii U is coming, let's pretend that you have a job and you pre-ordered one.
Okay.
What games do you immediately want to play? And what games do you wish were on the platform?
All right, so right off the bat, it's going to be Zombie U, Pikmin 3, the new Mario Brothers game. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a standard. Obviously now, Bayonetta 2. Like I said, I would be curious to play Black Ops 2 on that also. I'd like to see them do a Silent Hill game, actually. I think that'd be a really interesting game for them to bring
to the platform.
Yep, to the platform.
Using the Wii controller.
Using some of those enhancements that we're going to definitely see and utilize in Zombie U. Because I feel like the atmosphere that Silent Hill has will play well to those mechanics from what we know of. With that said, I mean, anything that Shinji Mikami does in terms of survival horror should automatically be on all consoles. I don't know why they're not. But
adjust your glasses when you say that.
I totally just did. I'd love to say a Resident Evil. I would also like to see... Oh, you know what I'd love to see, actually?
I don't know. That's why I asked the question.
I'd like to see the new Tomb Raider game.
Yes.
Over
there. Thank you. That's the one that immediately came to my mind. Like, after I put in my credit card thing, I was like, so, is Tomb Raider gonna come out on this? Because even though I'd like the achievements on my gamer score, on my gamer tag, I really want to see what the new Tomb Raider game would look like and play like on the Wii U. So if it is going to be available on Wii U, I think I'm going to pre-order it on Wii U and not actually on Xbox.
Wow.
I know. Big Nintendo, words coming out Nintendo of my mouth. Nintendo
shifting perceptions before launch.
Nintendo getting my money since 1986.
I was only two.
Asshole. Well. So anyway. So that's kind of our take on the Nintendo stuff. I will say that I'm happy to give Nintendo my money. I'm happy to give Microsoft my money. I enjoy playing AAA titles, but I also enjoy indie titles. So I hope that the indie group isn't precluded from getting
a title that Nintendo
onto the platform, because that's one of the things that's been difficult for them to do, because there's a lot of money that you gotta pony up front to be able to be a licensed Nintendo developer.
I need 10 mil more. No, not on the back. I need it on signing.
You know, it's one of the things that has precluded the growth of indie gamers on the platform versus indie games that are available via, you know, things like XBLA and iOS and Android. So I hope that Nintendo can find a way to balance that, because I feel like, you know, you get the right indie game group on the platform as developers, and you can really do some interesting things on the Wii U. So I'm much more excited today about the Wii U than I was at E3. And I didn't really think Nintendo could do that. So bravo to you, Nintendo.
Golf clap.
Golf clap.
golf clap of appreciation.
Mm. Speaking of indie games.
I know, you set us up so great like for a transition. You like
that? See, I was thinking about that. I made a little note in my mind that I was going to do that transition because I'm professional.
So, I mean, I don't know if you guys have been paying too much attention, and I seriously
Of course they paid attention because they love us.
Yeah. So, good thing you guys have been paying attention. So, you know that we've been talking ad nauseum.
That would be ad nauseum.
Yeah, that word that I never say correctly ever.
Ad nauseum, I think, has something to do about God.
Maybe. But we have talked at length about...
No, we haven't. We've just mentioned a few times.
We should talk
at length now.
I've mentioned it several times. KBD has mentioned it more times than us, so he's probably more ad nauseum than I am. But Boston Festival of Indie Games.
Boston Fig.
B-Fig.
Next week.
And we are going to be there.
Yes.
Saturday. It's a one-day event.
One-day event. This year. Next year? Who knows? Who knows?
I'd love to see this thing blow up.
I think it's gonna.
But they have gone and revealed the lineup of all the indie games.
Yay!
That will be available for hands-on by all who go.
Indie game!
Just to give you guys a little tidbit, there are 36 games that we will be able to get our hands on with and talk to the developers of them.
That's 6 times 6.
Over three dozen titles. And we do have the full list, and it's like 10 pages long.
Yeah, we're not going to go through the full list, but here's...
I will actually put the full list in this week's...
No, what she's going to do is put a link to the post that's already on our EGMnow.com/ElectricSisterhood page, written by KBD, that outlines all of the indie game developers who are going to be there.
Yep.
There's going to be some big names in the house as well. Leah Alexander is going to be there doing a keynote. Harmonix is going to be in the house. The MIT Game Labs people are going to be there because the MIT Game Labs people
Yeah, because this is happening in Cambridge.
We're going to be in B-Town.
We're going to be in probably one of the nerdiest cities.
Seriously, we're going to be in one of the nerdiest cultural centers. In the Bostonian area. Lower 48 states. But what's really cool is that it's happening, you know, that we actually are going to be able to go to a indie event that's specifically just about indie gamers. And there are more things popping up. You know, Indiecade is going really strong. It's just really cool to see independent developers, gamers, the community starting to get the cred and the spotlight that they deserve. So we're really excited about going to the Fig. We are going to
be Fig,
cover as much and talk to as many people as we possibly can. Our podcast next week is going to be probably predominantly
stuff that we took away. It's going to be 99.9999997%
about Boston Fig. Who we talked to, what we learned, what they drank, what we drank, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what I mostly want to know is, and so that's why it's really important that Panda include the link to the article
I will.
In this piece, is from the indie guys that are going to be there, who are you most interested in hearing about? So we can make sure that we
give you the coverage that you want.
Exactly. So be sure to check the podcast notes on the website, click the link, visit the article, and just hit us up on our Facebook page and let us know, I want to hear about blah, 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 blah. So that way we can make sure that we get them on tape and that we remember to hit the record button.
That's your job.
I know. But I'm just saying that now so I remember next week to hit the record button.
Okay.
Because it'll be sadness.
If you don't.
If I don't.
Karma's a bitch.
It mostly is nasty and not a pleasant thing. Not a pleasant thing. So we talked about the Wii U, and we definitely want to hear what your thoughts are on the price point. There's going to be a lot of conversation, but you kind of heard how I feel, and Panda didn't seem to disagree, so I'm going to go with her going, nah, it's all right. It's okay.
Well, I mean, I'm broke, so it doesn't matter.
I'm broke. Either way, I'm not getting one.
Unless Santa loves me.
Unless Santa?
Santa. Unless
I thought
Santa.
You already told Santa that you wanted the other thing that got announced.
That's one Santa. There's multiple Santas.
There's multiple Santas. So what? You have a Nintendo Santa and then you have an iPhone Santa?
I hope.
Really? Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the Apple stock holder in me cannot contain my excitement over the announcement of the iPhone 5.
I'm so glad that we don't have enough time for you to really talk about it.
Oh, we got enough time. We got enough time.
Defeated.
You tried so much, and yet you could not stretch it enough. Yes, iPhone 5. I'm going to be succinct because there's not a whole lot.
You're
going to
be succinct?
Shut up. I'm going to get right to the point.
Okay.
Okay? iPhone 5, a little bit bigger screen, a little bit better camera, a little bit better battery life.
A little less
life.
Conversation, a little bit more action?
Some, yeah, yeah. Well, a little more conversation, a little more action.
Oh,
action.
All right.
Okay? A little thinner.
Up,
a little bit peppier,
because
it's got the A6 chip in there.
It went to the gym.
Okay, you know, so it's a little faster, it's a little stronger, it's a little harder.
It's better.
It is, in fact, better. Okay? iOS 6, kind of sleek, adding some new things, liking the new maps, with the turn-by-turn directions, Siri talking to you, because Siri talking to you more is really all you need in life.
Well, women drivers not getting lost since the iPhone 5.
Oh, no, you can still get lost, because sometimes Siri puts you in a loop. If you don't take a turn that she really wants you to take, she will make you go 4 blocks around
Siri,
to get back.
Making women drivers more lost.
Making women drivers later than they really wanted to be. Because we know boys don't take directions. But, gotta tell you, sucker looks sweet. Sucker looks fast. The pre-orders for shipping on the 21st, which is when the device was announced to be shipped during Tim Cook's announcement, sold out and immediately went to a 2-week back order within an hour.
Wow.
Of going up on the web. Which, as I will now remind you, was at 3 a.m. Friday morning.
3 a.m.
By 4 a.m. Eastern time.
Hour later.
The pre-orders were already gone, and
sold
you were on
out.
A two-week wait for ship.
2 weeks.
If you tried to order at that point. So if you didn't get one of those gorgeous pre-orders that shipped on the 21st.
So sexy, so sexy.
You better pedal your ass to an Apple store and be prepared to wait in line for about 6 hours.
Get in that queue, bitch.
If you want to get one. Now, me personally, I do want to get one, but I'm going to be waiting a little bit. And mostly because I'm not eligible for the discounted pricing. And
I am, but I ain't got no money.
Because it's broke bitch November and December.
It's technically, for me, it's broke bitch September.
It's just
broke bitch year.
But for me, I've got my pre-order of Assassin's 3. I did the one that let you get the blade.
Yeah, because you needed that.
I did, in my life. So I've got that collector's edition coming in, and then, of course, you know, there's a few games coming out between now and November, and since I pre-ordered my Wii, I was like, well, I can't do a Wii and a phone in the same week, so I would really appreciate
it. So hard for you.
Shut up. I know, first world problems, right? I would really appreciate it, Nintendo and Apple, if next time you guys can get together and go, ooh, let's not schedule our life-changing announcements at the same week so that I could feel a little bit better about, you know, one charge showing up on maybe next month's statement instead of this month's statement. That would be great, okay? But seriously, you know, I love the display. I have a 4S that I've been very happy with. I love the new features of iOS, and the more that you can incorporate Siri, the better. I think that Passport will do one of two things. It will either be the best application on the planet for people who travel a lot. So for your business users, it'll become a way of life, because you'll be able to keep your plane, train, and automobile reservations as well as movie tickets all organized in one place. I can see restaurants adopting it and using it well as for reservations. So I just see Apple positioning the device is becoming more a part of your day-to-day life. I'm cool with that, because that just means the stock that I own goes up and up and up and up. Yay! So keep buying those iPhones!
As she says, twiddling.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Twiddling her evil thumbs.
Excellent. Well, only one thumb is evil. The other thumb is good, so it's like a devil and an angel. But sometimes the devil and the angel are on the same side, so they're like a danger, which is dangerous for me.
A danger?
Yeah, because that usually means I whip out the credit card and I buy it. All right, so that's what I got this week. Panda, if you don't have anything else, you know what time it is.
Yeah.
It's time to remind people that if they want to hear or see more stuff like, well, what we talk about, then you want to make sure to check us out on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. All the stuff that we write about, that we think about, we put together, it shows up there first, or you can find it, you know, a little bit later on our homepage, electricsisterhood.com. It's where you'll find the podcast and other ramblings. You can also use our short address, which is esh.co. That short address will bounce you to the long one. You can check out all the stuff that we've written in the week. Yes, I'm doing your part.
That's okay.
You can also get our podcast either via the iTunes music store, if you're using the desktop. You can get it through the iTunes podcast application on your mobile device. Or you can find us in the Microsoft Marketplace. Just search for Electric Sisterhood. Hit the little subscribe button that's there and get our new podcast the moment we put them out on the web. But if you don't want to use those stores,
then you can plug us into any RSS feeder or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for all of our cool, awesome buddies who happen to do the exact same thing we do.
Well, it's the same, but different. Because we put new podcast episodes out on Mondays, typically, unless something happens.
Something's gone wrong.
Sometimes. So those new episodes go out on Monday. But you can follow that up with the Testosterone to Our Estrogen, the Boston Bass Brigade, co-hosted by our homeboy King Baby Duck on Tuesday. Follow that up with an episode of the Geek Agro Podcast, hosted by our homeboy Deuce as well, to feed your nerdy needs, your gadgets and gizmos. Plenty.
I hate when you do that.
And for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, there's all the stuff we write about on our respective websites. Like I said, you can find our newest stuff first and foremost on our egmnow.com page. You can check us out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. Ask us questions, see the stuff that we're sharing, what we're thinking about, what we're watching, memes that we love, Wub Wub Wednesdays, Freakin' Fridays with Pandalicious. Oh my god, I can't even get started about stuff that's on Twitter. You definitely want to keep in the know of what's going on in the Land of Esh. Then you need to follow at ESH News, because that's all the news you can use from the Land of Esh. I think I've covered everything.
Facebook, think you have too.
The Twitters, the EGM Now page, the podcast, where you can get it. So it's time for me to say, Panda.
Yeah.
Hey, Panda.
Yeah.
What shit you digging this week?
Pizza, because I want some for food now.
Oh. Pandalicious is hungry.
Yeah. What are you digging this week besides sustenance?
Well, outside of that, art. More specifically, video game and, like, nerd-related art. Most specifically, DeviantArt. I came across Lori B., who does Disney as well as video game and comic book characters as heroines, pinup girl style.
Okay.
So if you want to check it out, theartofloriebee.com. She's got a series that she puts out in a book. I'm looking to get the number 6 series. It goes out in limited run, so I'm about to order that sucker. But she did a whole Avengers lineup of all the Avengers as female characters in the pinup style. It's really cool. And there have just been so many people who have been inspired by video game and comic books doing all kinds of amazing art on DeviantArt that I'm just spending a lot of time there this week. So absolutely love it. But shout out to Lori B.
All right.
So there you have it. As always.
Art and food.
Art and food. Because that's the way we do it here in the Land of Esh. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out till next week.
Bye.
Deuces.